This is Everyday Wealth with award-winning journalist Soledad O'Brien and personal finance expert Gene Chatsky.
Let's talk a little bit about the jobs numbers. We got yet another round of jobs numbers tying into the Great Resignation. 4.5 million people, the most ever, left their jobs in November, right? More than September, which was a record, more than October.
Another record.
Exactly. And, you know, it's interesting. It's two different groups of people. It is some fast food and hospitality workers who are really switching jobs because they see that if they go across the street, they can make another dollar or two or three an hour, maybe get a sign-on bonus. There are a lot of incentives out there. But there are also retirees who are just done, people who are looking at their lives and thinking, I've just had enough. I'm going to take back my time. I'm done trading it for money. I'm in a position where I can sustain this, but I wonder, can they really? I wonder, can they really, in particular, because you and I, Soledad, we've been talking a lot about this report that came out from Morningstar a little while ago, looking at what we in the financial industry call the 4% rule. And that's basically this long-standing maxim that if you withdraw no more than 4% of your retirement funds a year, you should be able to sustain yourself for 30 years. They threw a bucket of cold water on that and said, actually, the number is a lot lower than you might think.
So, Andy, let me ask you a question off of that report. First of all, when your clients come in to talk to you, how many of them are retiring, leaving their job, but not going to find another side gig passion that's going to bring them income?
I think it depends. I think some people go into it thinking, I don't want to work. I don't want to do anything else. And it's not like they want to sit in front of the TV and then just kind of die. But they have all of these kind of delusions of grandeur, not in a bad way, because they've worked their entire lives. Of course, there's all this stuff that they want to do. And then they realize, you know, 3-4 months go by and that contracting gig or that consulting gig looks pretty good. And so they go back. There's some people who at the very beginning know that it's not retirement. It's just a change from where you are right now. So you use that phrase, the Great Resignation, earlier, right? I hate that phrase.
Why?
And you didn't come up with it, I know, because there's like this connotation that people are just given up, right? And it's just based on the definitional use of the word. I think it's more of like a great send-off or a great launching or a great change. People are using something that's happening in the world around them to take action, knowing that they're going to be doing something else down the road. And so these conversations that we're talking about, it's more a matter of where are you? Where do you want to be? What do we have to do from a retirement income strategy to make sure that everything continues to work?
I think the pandemic has really changed how people are thinking about the lives they want to lead. I just know so many people who are like, I do not want to spend 90 minutes a day commuting each direction when my kids are 5, 6, 7, 9, 15 years old. Like, you have a limited amount of time. And the pandemic, for all the terrible things it brought, obviously, also, I think, opened up a possibility of what life could look like. So talk to me about this 4%, now less than 4% rule. Where did it come from? And do you agree with it? Do you think it's a good rule, bad rule, it's too high, too low?
So I always had a problem with the 4% rule. And I think that it goes back to kind of how people think about rules of thumb. Rules of thumb are great for people who are trying to do it on their own. And they're looking for some sort of nuggets of information to base their entire worldview around, right? So I've saved my entire life. I don't need help with my 401k. I'll just invest in the S&P 500 and blow everything out of the water. As they start to get ready to retire, it went from wanting to blow their, you know, 401k out of the water to, I don't want to blow myself up. I don't want to leave my family, you know, in poverty because I'm doing something wrong with my retirement planning. So this 4% rule, it was kind of created when things were different, right? Markets were different, bonds were different, inflation was different, prices were different, people's ages and longevity were different. But it was this really easy way for people to say, all right, here's this bucket of money. I divide it by 4%. This is what I can live on. And then at some point, required minimum distributions come in, you know, and so that's another piece of retirement income. Social Security or pensions are another piece of retirement income. So what Morningstar did was they basically said, it ain't 4% anymore. Now it's closer to 3.3%. But if you look at the report, there's all of these different, very specific things that they had to assume.
Yeah, and caveats like
for that to happen.
What I think is amazing about people in retirement is that they are resilient when it comes to how they navigate how much they're pulling out of their retirement accounts, right?
So, what do you mean?
So there's a lot of research that shows they look at the 4%. And they watch whether their portfolios are going up or going down that year. And if their portfolios are going down, they take one less vacation. They just take a little less money. They are able to kind of roll with the punches and spend a little less. And look, I agree with you, Andy. I think it's great if everybody sits down with an advisor and has an actual plan. But I also know that at EFE, you guys have done some research, and there are a lot of people out there who don't think they can afford planners. There are a lot of people out there who don't know how to find planners.
Right. I think there are a lot of people who don't think they have enough money.
Well, that's
to have a planner, to merit having a planner, and that you would roll your eyes at them and wouldn't want to talk to them if they felt like, well, listen, I don't have $25 million that need to be, you know, put into investments.
Right. First of all, it doesn't matter how much you have. It's an important number to you, and you still need help. And there's still people out there who can get you, you know, that information that you need. When it comes to that resiliency, Gene, that you were talking about, what I always tell clients is that there are different phases in retirement, right? There's three phases. When you first retire, you're the healthiest, you're the most active, you're going to spend the most, and you're going to be the most freaked out about your money that you will ever be throughout your entire life. Because you went from this accumulation phase to this spending phase, and all you're seeing is money going out. So the spending goes up a little bit, but then it really does start to go down over time. Not because you're spending less, but because there's just less stuff that you're doing or less stuff that you need. You start focusing on family, doctor's visits, except for that maybe last 1 to 3 years of life where costs start to go up. So it's resiliency. It's this idea that income really isn't fixed. It's more of an on-demand need, right? So when I build these plans for people, there are periods of time throughout the year where people know that they're going to need more money, right? So we change their retirement income at that point. There's periods of time where they know they're going to be spending more. So we change that in their overall plan. The problem with this rule of thumb going back to 4% or even at 3.3% is that it lures people into thinking that you can divide your wealth by some magical number. And as long as you don't stray from that path, everything's going to be fine. That's not how life works. And if you go into it and don't think about Social Security or pension, retirement income, your investments, estate needs, you know, family situations, aging parents, all of this other stuff, you basically have two numbers that you're working with. Those two numbers aren't going to get you from where you are right now all the way to the end.
I was going to ask you that. How often do retirees realize that that plan has been blown up?
What I tell people is that you want a plan that can be as flexible as possible. So the plan that we build is not a put it on the shelf, forget about it, and feel really good that you went through this process. It's more of a, we need to talk on a regular basis. Where is Social Security right now? What are your additional cash needs? Are the kids coming back to live? Are you taking care of parents right now? So anything that you can do from a cash flow planning perspective where you can change and pull these different levers, that's really what you're looking for, because you can be the savviest do-it-yourself investor and try to regale me with this, you know, kind of bonkers stock portfolio that you want me to look at. But if all you're doing is just kind of picking 30 stocks that just happen to be a tech fund or some large company stock fund, that's not getting you all the way through. So those questions, those concerns that you have, how often do people need to change? It's a lot more common than people think. To the extent that you can talk with a fiduciary, a financial planner who's going to put your best interest first, we can get to know you. You know, it's how we approach all of our client relationships in my practice. It's the same for all of my partners, all of my colleagues, you know, throughout Edelman Financial Engines. Just give us a call, 833-PLAN-EFE. or visit us at planefe.com. And all this stuff that we're talking about right now, you'll see how it would work out for you.
Everyday Wealth with Soledad O'Brien and Gene Chatsky is sponsored by Edelman Financial Engines. To learn more, visit our website, everydaywealth.com.